have a friend from high school named John Kessling. We grew up, you know, going to school together and stuff, and he actually lives in Nashville now, but he is an artist. So that's his picture up there. John Paul Kessling is what he goes by professionally. We were able to reconnect a little bit at our reunion a year or so ago, and he had a showing here in Nashville at the Red Arrow Gallery in East Nashville. So I went to kind of check it out and see him and look at the paintings and stuff. And there was one in particular that stood out to me. It's called Joshua Tree Dreamin', and this is a painting of it. It's a little bit hard to see, but there's a figure there in the center. And the figure is getting ready to go out kind of into the world, into some unknown place, but is turned back to look at where they have come from. And so it kind of captures this moment of possibility, of promise, of hope, of fear, that they've been in this place that they've known, that has been safe, that has been a home for them, and they're ready to venture out into something new and unknown. So there's possibility, there's hope, and there's promise in that, but then there's also fear and the possibility of things not turning out well. And I don't know, for some reason that picture just kind of struck me, and it spoke to me a little bit. And I like the colors, too. Do y'all like those? They're very different, right? Like, you know, this is supposed to be in the Joshua Tree National Park, I think, and it is not pink if you've ever been there, right? It's, you know, it's kind of brownish and green with the leaves and stuff, so it looks different than this. And in some ways, that's what artists do, right? They see the world differently than the rest of us. Roseanne could probably speak to this even better than I could, but they see the world differently than we do. They have, there's a whole phrase, the artist's eye, right? You've heard that. They see the world in a different kind of way, and they're able to capture moments like this and share them through whatever media they use. And I think Jesus is a little bit like that too. I think Jesus is a bit of an artist and someone who sees the world in a different way. A few weeks ago, we talked about the story of the woman who was caught in adultery, and she's brought before Jesus, and Jesus, in response, kneels down and starts to draw in the sand, in the dirt. And it doesn't say what he draws. He might be writing a list. He might be, you know, writing something. But it's entirely possible that he's drawing a picture. Jesus, the artist, drawing a picture in the dirt or the sand. Maybe. Who knows? But I am convinced that Jesus sees the world differently than we see the world. He sees it with an artist's eye. And I think sometimes we misunderstand Jesus because we're not aware that he's an artist, that he has this kind of different perspective than we have. We try to put our own kind of logical and rational minds to whatever Jesus is doing or saying, and it just doesn't quite fit. I've had that experience with my friend, John, the artist. He's just kind of this weird, quirky guy. And so if I try to make him kind of into the box of what a normal human being is, he just doesn't fit, right? But he's hilarious, and he's creative, and he's wonderful to be around. But he just doesn't quite fit in the boxes that most of us would make. And I think sometimes that's how Jesus is too. We try to fit him in this box. We try to understand him using our logic and our reason, and it just doesn't work. And so perhaps if we stop and think about Jesus as an artist, as seeing the world through artist eyes, well, we might come to understand him and his ministry and especially his teaching a little bit differently. And so I do want to turn to his teaching this morning, and in particular to the Beatitudes, which we read today. I think Jesus looks upon the world and sees many of the things that are described here in different ways than we might see them. All right, so the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for for theirs is the kingdom of God. Almost all of those first things that Jesus says, poor in spirit, those who are mourning, the meek who are hungry and thirsty, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted, most of us would look upon people in those circumstances and have pity. We would see them as unfortunate or as weak or as in need or as somehow deficient, would we? I know I would. But Jesus looks on them and sees something different. He sees them through artists' eyes. He sees the possibility and the promise in the situation in which they find themselves. And it changes the perspective. Instead of feeling sorry for folks who are in these circumstances, he has hope for them. And he offers them good words. He knows that it will strengthen them and build their character. He sees how it might connect them with other people who go through similar kinds of things. He sees that in our weakness, God is made strong in our lives. Oh, to have those same eyes that Jesus has, to look upon our own circumstances and the circumstances of others and not just wallow in the misery, but to see hope and promise. To see how Jesus sees. I wonder if that's even possible for us. I have to think that it is. I have to think that God can give us that gift to be able to see in the same way that Jesus sees. I shared a testimony earlier, and I think that's exactly what I experienced, a gift of God to be able to see something in a different way than I normally would have. To see it for the joy and the wonderfulness that it was, instead of needing to have that myself. And so let's pause and think about Jesus and how he sees the world and how he sees with these artist eyes, because I do think it's possible. I think maybe there is a way that we can see like Jesus sees. Maybe we can experience this gift of God. So the first thing that I think Jesus does is that he... There we go. Acknowledges the pain and the suffering that the person is experiencing. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted. He doesn't deny the reality in which they find themselves. He doesn't just say, oh, you're okay, because they're not okay. They're suffering. They're weak. They're in some bad circumstances. So Jesus acknowledges where they are and even names it. I think sometimes I struggle with this. It's easier for me just to pretend like it's not happening, right? Does that work for anybody else? Anybody else try to do that, right? Things are not going well, and so instead of kind of acknowledging that, you're just like, oh, everything's fine, and you just kind of keep moving, right? Because we have this idea that if we just keep moving, we keep busy, we keep doing stuff, well, then all that will take care of itself and it won't really be real, right? But in reality, it is real. In reality, this pain that we experience, this suffering or loneliness or trouble or whatever it might be, it is real. And I think part of what Jesus does in the Beatitudes is that he acknowledges it and he names it. And he says, this is where you find yourself. This really is where we are. There is power in naming that truth and not pretending like it doesn't exist. The second thing that Jesus does is to avoid the temptation of trying to fix whatever circumstances the person finds himself in. This one is also hard for me, right? I want to jump in and fix whatever is going on, right? If you are lonely, well, I want to hang out with you. If you are hurting, well, I'm going to do something to try to take that pain away. If, you know, whatever the circumstances are, I want to fix it. That's just how I was raised, to be a fixer, right? Part of what I've had to learn, and it's a hard lesson, and I'm still learning it, is that I can't fix everything. And sometimes it's even better not to fix, right? Sometimes you just have to sit with whatever it is that's going on, to live in it and dwell with it. I'm reminded of the book of Job, which we studied when we were walking through the Hebrew scriptures. And if you remember Job's life, he has everything going for him. He's rich and he's wealthy. He's got this wonderful family. Everything is fantastic. And then it all falls apart. He loses everything that he has. His children are killed. He is covered in boils. He is devastated, right? And these friends come. And for a week, they just sit with him in the midst of his misery and suffering. That's part of what we need to learn to do, what I need to learn to do, is simply to sit with other people and with myself in the midst of these kinds of circumstances, to tolerate the discomfort that comes along with being in these circumstances. And it's hard to do, but I think it is holy and good work to do so. Now, I think it's what Jesus does in these Beatitudes. He names that this is the circumstance in which someone finds himself, and he joins them there. He doesn't try to fix it or to change it. He says, this is where you are, and I am there with you. But then the last thing that Jesus does is that he sees and names the hope and the potential in where the people are. This one I really struggle with. It's kind of like a whole process doing all this, right? And I'm still working on all the steps, but I really haven't made much progress on this one. Like, I've got to get the other ones down before I can get to it, I think. But to be able to enter into someone's suffering and someone's pain and someone's weakness, not try to fix it, but to enter into it, and then to be able to name the hope and the promise that comes afterwards. Not to diminish what they're going through, not to say that it's not real, or but to know that they won't be stuck there forever. That there is hope on the other side. That there is a different way of seeing things, just as an artist does. One of the people who was really good at this is Mr. Rogers. I remember Mr. Rogers. There was a movie that came out just a little bit ago that starred Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. And there are a few quotes from the movie that I think exemplify this as well as any examples I could give. And so I want to share those with you. So the main idea in this movie is that there's this reporter who's come to do a story about Mr. Rogers. And he's going through some stuff in his own life. And so Mr. Rogers' kindness and generosity and love has a big impact on him. And so the reporter says, "You love broken people like me." And Mr. Rogers replies, "I don't think you're broken." Even though the man sees himself as broken, even though he knows all that he's gone through, Mr. Rogers sees him with different eyes. And he says, "I don't think you're broken." Sometimes we need to hear those same words, don't we? That because of everything that's going on in our lives, we feel like there's something wrong with us. We are broken. And yes, we are hurting. And yes, we are suffering. And yes, there is pain. But it doesn't mean that there's not something on the other side. It doesn't mean that we are unfixable. I think Jesus sees us not as broken like Mr. Rogers. All right, the next one is look for the helpers. You always find people who are helping. To look out in the world and even in the midst of our circumstances, to know that there are people who are making a difference and trying to make the world a better place. Even if we're in a spot where we're not able to do that because of whatever is going on, we can have hope because there are other people who are. Other people who are showing love and kindness. Other people who are being generous. Other people who are following the example of Christ and helping one another, loving their neighbors. And to know that one day we'll be in a place where we can do the same. And then lastly, Mr. Rogers says, I think the best thing we can do is to let people know that each one of them is precious. Each one of you is precious. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in whatever is going on in our lives, whatever suffering, whatever sorrow, whatever pain or loneliness, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, and we lose sight of the fact that we are precious. We are loved. Each and every one of us is an amazing and wonderful person who has something to offer to the world. And it's easy to lose track of that when we are in those dark circumstances. And so part of what Jesus speaks in the Beatitudes, part of what Mr. Rogers recognizes, is that even in all of that, we still have worth and value. We are not defined by the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We are not defined by the suffering that we experience. We're not defined by that pain or whatever it might be. We are precious in God's sight and to one another. And so, friends, may we have eyes like Jesus has, the eyes of an artist, to look at whatever circumstances we find others in or find ourselves in and see that there is hope, that pain and suffering don't have the final word, but that there is promise, there is hope, there is potential. And especially this day, if you find yourself in those circumstances, if you find yourself in a dark place, if you find yourself overwhelmed by all that's going on, if you find yourself hurting or afraid or alone, know that Jesus looks upon you and sees you as precious and sees the potential that is there, and that all of us care for you and will wrap you in arms of love and grace, because that's what it means to be a community of faith and to follow Christ. And so blessed are each and every one of us, because we are loved by God.